Okay, you all have a new sheet, I trust. I've broken down the subject of anger a bit more detail than the former outline. So this is the new outline. And I hope to today simply talk to you about anger and principles about anger in general, give an introduction, and probably we'll get as far as talking about the evils of anger, negative anger, in a marriage, how it destroys and damages a marriage. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to get to the solution until next time. So I'd love to be able to do this talk in one long evening address, but that's not possible. So it will take two times. We're going to look at the problem today primarily, and then look at the solution next time, God willing, that we meet, which will probably be three weeks from now, because the next 2 weeks we don't meet. I'd like to begin by just reading you a few scattered passages about anger, and then we're going to read Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his own spirit is better than he that takes a city. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, thou must do it yet again. In other words, he's going to get angry again. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy own soul. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Now, all those I read to you are just from the book of Proverbs alone. And there are many, many more. Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Jonah 4, verse 4, then said the Lord to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Matthew 5, verse 22, I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Colossians 3:8, put off all these, anger, wrath, and malice. Titus 1 verse 7, a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry. James 1:19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, I guess if I said nothing more, you at least would have the message about the damage that anger does. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, 26 through 32. I want you to listen here as I read to the progression of anger. Verse 26. In fact, let me just give you the progression as I read it. That might be simpler. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, here comes the progression. Let all bitterness, now the word bitterness here in Greek is internal resentment. That's how anger begins. There can be some needling words here, perhaps, but it's mainly internal resentment. Bitterness and wrath, the Greek word here means exasperation. Having some outburst, due to the heart being heated up, like a furnace starting. And anger, the word anger here in Greek means a settled state, a long-term antagonism. The furnace is well stoked now. It's burning well. Steady, steady fire. And clamor. Clamor means shouting. Some translations use yelling. It means an abandonment, a loss of temper. You're out of control. And evil speaking. Evil speaking here means to speak hateful words, abusive speech. Some Bibles, modern translations, use blasphemy. People are cursing each other. They're yelling things that stronger than yelling. You say things that you regret for a lifetime that you say. Cursing each other. With all malice. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now malice here is a Greek word that means to be frozen. Your enmity is frozen. You're beyond the point of return, as it were. You have a solid, enduring anger that's turned into cold hatred. This is the kind of thing that grows and grows and grows until you actually wish the spouse were dead. You delight at this point, you see. Malice is delighting in hurting each other. So you see the danger of how this builds and builds and builds. This is the end of the road, malice. It's a catch-all term of full-fledged anger. And what Paul is saying is, don't give place to the devil. Stop this chain at the very first step. As soon as you feel that bitterness, you've got to deal with it. Don't postpone. Otherwise, it's going to develop, you see, in this way. Well, how do you stop it? How do you deal with it? Well, he tells us in verse 32. This is the opposite chain. The positive chain. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Great God of heaven, we bow before Thee. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the detailed, practical instructions from Thy Word, which deal so extensively with this common problem of anger in human relationships, but also anger, particularly in marriage. Help us to expound this, Lord, biblically and well, and that it may be given clarity, that we may realize today the enormity of the problem, and God willing, the enormity of the solution. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, anger, as you've just noticed from Ephesians 4, is something that we usually think of as being negative and destructive. If I say to you, he's an angry person, you don't think something positive, do you? Anger has many facets. Anger includes irritability. That's anger on a low simmer. It includes an argumentative spirit, bitterness, violence. There can be self-righteous anger. There can be passive anger. There can be all kinds of negative anger. Anger flares up too quickly. Anger alienates too many relationships. It burns too long. It causes too much pain. It hides too well. But tragically, sometimes it feels too good. But that's not the whole story of anger. There actually is something good about a righteous anger. There can be a redemptively righteous anger. When we look deeper at the subject of anger, we have to understand that God is an angry God. Anger is one of His attributes. God is angry against sin. God has a righteous anger. God created us in His image. And when He created us, He created us with the ability and the capacity to react with displeasure toward real wrongs. And so we need to grasp that anger can be a good thing. In fact, what does the opening words of Ephesians 4 verse 26 say? It says, "Be angry and sin not." Now, God isn't saying there, "Well, just go ahead and be angry." No, He's saying, when you are angry, be sure you're angry for a good cause. Be sure it's for My glory. Be sure it's because of disobedience to My commands that stirs your anger. Be sure it's not selfish. So, anger, defined, is simply taking an emotional stand for one's convictions. Let me repeat that. Anger is taking an emotional stand for one's convictions. It's saying, I'm against something. Something you believe is wrong. And that kind of anger can be very good. Can be very good. A person who never gets angry is not a biblical Christian. We need more righteous anger in our day. We ought to be far more angry than we are, for example, at 1.2 million babies being killed in our country every year. It's not a good sign when Christians can sit back and just relax about that. So, good anger says, this really matters, this is unbiblical, it's wrong, and I want to change it by the grace of God. And I'm upset about it, because it dishonors God. So anger is always judgmental in nature. The important question is my judgment right? Is it God-honoring? Is it biblical? Or is my judgment wrong? Now, there's a wide range to this. There's a wide range, first of all, and I've got them listed here. There's a wide range to the emotions involved in anger. Those emotions can run all the way from a flash of irritation and or a mild complaint to murder. That you can't control yourself and you're so angry you kill someone. There's been people who've been so angry about doctors killing unborn babies, they've gone out and killed the doctors. What may have initially been a good and a righteous anger became, of course, an ungodly anger when they took matters into their own hands and added sin to sin, murder to murder. Secondly, anger expresses itself in many different actions. Many different actions. You can file a lawsuit because you're angry. You can start a protest movement because you're angry. Or you can do nothing and yet be angry. So there's a huge difference here in how you carry it out. There can be a passive anger. There can be aggressive anger where you're loud and boisterous, open and cutting. Or there can be an assertive anger that is well-based. Let me just give you a couple quick points here. Between aggressive anger and assertive anger, seen assertive as a positive assertiveness, and aggression here as negative. And I get this particular thought here from from a book called The Joy of a Give and Take Marriage, the book we were looking at last time. Aggressive anger seeks to punish a person who does wrong. Assertive anger seeks to help a person who does wrong. Aggressive anger does not care about the other person's point of view. Assertive anger tries to be discreet and understanding. Aggressive anger is hard-nosed, immovable, demanding. Assertive anger is firm, but it's willing to seek alternatives, sinless alternatives. Aggressive anger has high expectations of everyone. Assertive anger knows that even the finest people are fallible. Aggressive anger cares most about what happens to me. Assertive anger cares most about what happens to others, and it includes me. Aggressive anger holds grudges. Assertive anger knows the value of forgiving. Aggressive anger seldom admits one's own weaknesses. Assertive anger is willing to admit my own faults, my need for improvement. So there's different attitudes here, different emotions, different actions, different objects too. Different objects. Some people get angry at the smallest things. There are husbands who've gotten angry at their wife burning the toast and said harsh words to her. You can get angry at trivial things. You can get angry at very big things. Sometimes it's hard for a man to understand why his wife often gets upset over small things. And then some really big things happen in his mind. And she takes it like a champ. No problem. So a man has a hard time sometimes figuring out the emotions of his wife. Why the small things are so big? The big things are so small in the rational male mind. Then the duration of anger can vary. The duration of anger can vary. Some people tend to be angry for a minute, they blow off steam, and then they try to reconcile. And of course they act like, well, now I'm sorry, everything's over, and they think that all that anger they expressed is done and buried. I'm not realizing they just put it on the other person's chest, probably for years. But they're done. They've blown off all their steam immaturely in 10 minutes, and they're ready for reconciliation. Other people hold grudges for decades, lifetime. They're angry, angry, angry. You can see it on their faces when you meet them. They don't ever want to shake your hand. They just hold it there for year after year after year. Angry, angry, angry. Well, you got to feel sorry, of course, for both kinds of people. Now, the conclusion of this introduction is that our anger reveals who our master is. If we're always exercising selfish anger, if it's always about me, it obviously reveals that our master is still Satan, who promotes the selfish world life view. If our anger, however, is often stirred by the need for God's glory, and because of sin, injustice in the world, and because of my own sin, there's such a thing as being angry against myself. If that is the general tenor of my anger, then it's evident that Christ is my master. You see, where the image of God has been restored, and from the image of the devil, the things that make God angry will tend to be the things that make us angry. Now, I say that all with a caveat. The believer in this world is not perfect. We have not yet arrived. And so, in this world, also as believers, our anger is often mixed. Many, many times a believer is angry about something, It touches on God's glory, but he's also got a personal investment in it. And so it's kind of a mixed bag. And we're good, of course. We're masters at justifying our anger, thinking it's all pure. But often, there's the alloy is mixed. And so what we need to understand is that our anger is complicated. Because often, as believers, it will show flashes of being created in God's image at the same time as it reveals the perversity of our fallen nature. And that's why in marriage, there can be so much misunderstanding and so much anger, even between believers. Because even believers can feel unjustified, selfish, and have a mixture of motives. So that leads me then to look at evil anger in marriage. I want to begin with a story that I read that hopefully some of us can identify with. This man by the name of Winston Smith, he begins an article on anger in marriage this way. He says, anger is never quite what it seems. It feels powerful, but it weakens you. It feels honest, but it's full of lies. It promises change, but it leaves you stuck. It seems simple, but it's complex and confusing. And then he goes on to tell the story that recently he had to speak at a certain setting, and he was under pressure to get his notes together for a deadline. So he scribbled down a number of notes. He worked out his talk in outline form, and he stuck it in his Bible. And the next day, he had a couple more hours to work on it before he had to go speak, and he couldn't find those notes. And he was absolutely sure he put them in his Bible. And so he started going around everywhere. He started looking through everything. He opened drawers in the dining room and the kitchen and the bedroom, and as he dug through all the junk in the house, he became increasingly irritated. He found all kinds of useless paper. He found instructions for putting toys together that had been broken for 5 years, and he got more and more frustrated. And finally he said, this house is full of useless pieces of paper that have been kept in the same place for years, and the one piece of paper most important to me disappears within 24 hours. Well, finally, he went to his wife, and as his anger was growing, you see, he said, would you believe I can't find the pieces of paper in this house that have been lying around? I can find them that have been lying around for 6 years, and I can't find one piece of paper I put down yesterday? And what was the message to her? Well, the hidden message behind the anger was, if you would keep this house really clean, and if you really loved me, you would know where that piece of paper is, and you wouldn't have thrown it away. Then he writes this, to my wife's credit, she just shrugged her shoulders and said, I'm sorry, dear, but like I said, I haven't seen your paper. She's a wise woman. Well, finally, he went back and he picked up his Bible and he turned it upside down in his anger. It just went like that. And suddenly, the paper fluttered out and landed at his feet. And he said, I felt about 2 inches tall. But then he goes on and he says, well, what happened if I hadn't found that paper? And what happened if my anger would have grown more? And the deadline was there, and I never found it. And I was convinced it was my wife's fault. Could have gotten pretty ugly. Well, now compound that. Take that one example, compound it, and let that something like that happen once a week. Twice a week. 4 times a week, every day. See, that's what happens in escalating marriage. Misunderstandings get compounded. Anger gets more common. There's 100 things that happen in your home every day. It only takes one to trigger anger. So if you don't learn how to handle your anger properly and positively, it will degenerate. Bitterness will build. Mistakes will be made that will arouse anger. And that anger will arouse anger in the other person. We just read that from Proverbs 22. Don't be around an angry man because he'll make you angry. And so then you get two angry people. So what happens in marriage is that anger seduces. Anger seduces. I've got five thoughts here. All begin with P. First of all, the power seduces. What happens in anger is that usually something important to you is threatened. You get angry. Or you think you're going to lose control over something you want to keep control over. You get angry. And so anger becomes powerful in its seduction because it promises the power to protect your threatened treasure. If you could be angry about it and do something about it, you can get it back, or you can protect it, or you can get your way. Second, there's a physical element to anger. Anger does something to you physically, doesn't it? When you get really angry, it moves you down a pathway of physical rush. A physical high, as it were. Your adrenal gland pumps. Your heart pounds. You feel alert. You feel energized. You're prepared for action. So there's a buildup. There's a head of steam, if you will. And before long, it's too late to stop the train. But anger also seduces, not only in the realm of power and the physical, but also the pragmatic. Anger is seductive in that it seems to work. So you say, well, this appears to work. I'm going to use it because it gives the solution. But it doesn't give the solution. I still remember very vividly in my own life, we were going on a trip. I think Calvin was 5 and Esther was 4 and Lydia was 1 or something like that. And they were all in the back seat. And we were going on a long trip, I mean hundreds of miles. And I talked to them ahead of time about how everyone had to behave in the van. And this is going to be a pleasant trip. This is going to be a wonderful trip. Everyone's going to get along just great. No bickering. We prayed about it. We got in the van. Everybody's happy. Everybody's excited. We got 10 minutes down the road. And they're bickering and arguing. And it just... I got so angry. I said, we're just beginning. I said, stop it. 5 more minutes down the road, they're bickering and arguing again. I said, will you please stop right now, or I'm going to pull off on the side of the road and get you out of the van. I'm going to spank you. 5 minutes later, they're bickering again. And I blew it. I yelled at them. I yelled at the top of my lungs. I remember vividly today. Felt so terrible later. Oh, they were so astonished to hear me yelling. I mean, they were just good the whole rest of the way. I mean, utter a word. You know, nobody enjoyed the trip at all, but they were quiet as a mouse. I got my way, peace and quiet. But what did they think of their dad? It's awful. It was pragmatic, but it was disastrous. Then there's the pride involved. Seductive power of pride. You see, really, anger is interwoven with idolatry. Like all idol, anger promises to make us into our own gods. But actually, it just feeds our pride. And finally, there's the pain. There's the pain of the person who receives, who's on the receiving end of our anger. Oh, how painful it is. What will happen next? My husband got so mad at me for that. What's going to happen next time? A fear of rejection begins to set in. And the spouse learns to walk around on tiptoe throughout the marriage, walk on eggshells. To be careful what I'm going to say. It might make him angry. It might make her angry. See how damaging anger can be. And then anger can also blind us, but I think my time is up, so we'll stop here and get to the solution next time. Let's pray together. Lord God, we bow before Thee and we ask for forgiveness for all our unrighteous bouts of anger. We pray that we may learn how damaging it is in a marital relation, in particular. And we pray for wisdom and grace, for help, to control ourselves and to rather be kind and tender-hearted, forgiving each other as Christ forgives us. Go with us now in mercy. Guide and bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.